Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this afternoon, this evening, and Lord, just pray that it would encourage us to pray for folks, for Jewish folks, for all people that need to be saved. And Lord, just teach us how specifically we can pray. And we'll thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in Mark's life, Lord. Lord, what a joy it was to see the joy on the face of Mark and Ellie in church, and the church just filled with joy at their presence. And Lord, we just thank you for the work you're doing and continue to do. And Lord, teach us tonight, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, back in the book of Romans, if you go back to Romans chapter 9, and I'm sure we're familiar with this passage of Scripture, but Paul, naturally, as a Jewish person, as a Hebrew, but more importantly, as a saved Hebrew, had a burden for his people. And in chapter 9, he says this, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." And so Paul starts in Romans chapter 9, and he speaks about how great a burden he had for his own people. And then in Romans chapter 10, he speaks about the desire of his heart. Romans chapter 10, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this way, Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh in thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so he writes there, and he's writing to the Romans, and he's explaining to them that the gospel, but he goes back and he speaks about Moses. And, you know, when you stop and think about it, Paul knew what we're about to speak about from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He knew how difficult it was to reach the Hebrew people. And he says, it's my burden, it's my prayer, it's my desire. But you know, also in chapter 11, he also knew this, that as hard as it is, as difficult it is, and we ought to think about this in regard to everybody, as difficult and as hard as it is, listen, God hasn't given up on people. God hasn't given up on the souls of men and women, even today. As messed up as the world is getting, as far as it's going away from God, God has not given up on reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 11, well, he goes on in chapter 10 and verse 19, "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saying, I will provoke thee to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger thee. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found to them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." And yet Paul comes down and he says, as bad as it is, as hard as it is, as difficult as it is, he says, I'm not going to give up hope. Because of chapter 11. "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What, know ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so at this time, present time, there is also a remnant according to the election of grace. And so Paul has a burden, Paul's prayer, Paul's desire, and Paul's hope is all there in Romans. But when you come to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 now, and let's see three things. The first thing we're going to see in chapter 3 is in verse number 13 and verse number 14. And here we see the great hindrance to reaching a Jewish person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, being at Atria, we had the opportunity to share the gospel with many Jewish people. But it was difficult for a number of reasons. And the hardest part was this, that they would come and they would listen. But as it says in verse number 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And their minds are blinded, folks. You go over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, look what it says. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And their minds are blinded. And we would have Jewish people come in. And sometimes they would sit, not in the group, but they would sit on the way on the outside. And they just were curious. Just like in Jesus' day, they were curious. And then someone come in for the singing. This one elderly lady, her and her husband, she was the owner of the Norwich Bulletin, her and her husband. And she would bring him because he liked the singing. He liked the music. And so they would sit and we would sing. But as soon as we got done singing and started open up the Word of God, man, they were gone. A butcher, a Jewish butcher from New London, Jack, he would sit right outside the elevator. He wouldn't come, but he would sit outside the elevator. And for a long time, their minds are blinded. And not only are their minds blinded, but you have to understand this also. They are adamantly told by their Jewish friends not to listen, to have nothing to do with it. Don't open your ear to that. Don't listen. Don't go to that Bible study. You would think in a place like Atria that when you come in and have singing in a Bible study that people would just come. But not only the Jewish people, but the Catholic people, they are told. And what happens is, and I believe this is why they would sit on the outside, part of the reason, is because if they came immediately afterwards, other Jewish people would corner them and go up to them and forbid them. They have a Jewish community inside of that nursing home. Not a nursing home, but... And they would go up to them and tell them. Now, I don't know what else they threatened them with, but they would tell them, don't go to that. Don't go to that. That's not for us. And their minds are blinded. And the God of this world, Satan, blinds the minds of them which believe not. And so there's a battle there, folks. There's a hindrance. It's not just that they're sinful. It's not just that they're... you know, there's a lot of people today that have no knowledge of Christ. That's different. When you meet someone that has no knowledge of Christ, there's an opportunity to say, let me teach you about Christ. And a lot of times people are open because they've never been taught. We have a generation growing up today that have never been in a church, never been in a Sunday school class, never been in anything like that. And they just, it's exciting, but it's sad because you open up and you start to tell them the stories of the Bible. And I've met people who don't know Adam and Eve is, you know, or Jonah or Daniel, but the Jewish people, their minds are blinded by Satan, and he keeps that veil down so they can't see and they can't comprehend. And so they're blinded. And the reason they're blinded is because well, first of all, let's just say there's a hindrance. But second of all, it's about their heart. Because what you have to reach is not their mind, but their heart. Because look what it says. In verse 14, it says their minds were blinded. In chapter 3, it says the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In fact, let's just go there. We're going to switch these points up a little bit. All right, there is hope. The hope is the light of the glorious gospel. Go back to Acts chapter 9 for a minute. Acts chapter 9. And this is where you and I come in, that the light of the glorious gospel would come to them through you and me. But look at Acts chapter 9 and see how the testimony of Paul is expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul would say, if Paul was up here, he'd say, my mind was blinded. Jewish religion had blinded it. Satan had blinded it. My mind was blinded. And it was blinded so much that, like in chapter 9, he says, I would breathe out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. I would go unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He would say, that's how much my mind was blinded. It wasn't just that I was ignorant, but it was blinded to the point where it wasn't that I was apathetic about it or didn't want to hear about it, but I was adamantly opposed to it, to the point where it caused rage in my life, and I would just punish these people. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. And what happened in chapter 9? Look at chapter 9. And as he journeyed, he came to Damascus. And what happened? Look at what it says. Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And you know, that's really, first of all, what we need to pray for. That the light of the gospel all of a sudden just shines like a bolt out of heaven to these people. As you minister to them, as you speak to them, as you talk with them, as you witness to them, that through you, through your life, and through the gospel, you might say, well, where do I start? Start anywhere you want, just like you would with anybody else. Start Isaiah chapter 53, because it doesn't matter where you start. You're starting with a person whose mind is blinded, and something of God needs to happen. That light needs to shine. It's like we say, you know, the light needs to go on. Well, that light needs to shine, because in Acts chapter 9, as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And so, second of all, we need to pray that the light of the glorious gospel would just shine to these people. Because it's all about the heart. Because when that light shines, you say, well, how does the light shine? I'll tell you, the light shines mostly through the love of Christ seen in your heart. The love of God shown in your heart. That's how it's seen the most, folks. It's through loving them. It's through loving them, because there are people that don't think the rest of the world loves them. There are people that don't. I remember meeting a Jewish man down in New York. He wasn't a Russian Jewish man. We went down and ministered to the Russian Jews. But he wasn't. He spoke English. And I told him that God loved him. And boy, I got a startled response. Because he rolled up his shirt. And when he rolled up his shirt, he showed me the number tattooed on his arm from the concentration camp. And then he went like this and he opened his shirt up. And he showed me scars. And he says, those scars are where I laid on top of a Catholic priest and let them stick the bayonet in me and not in the priest. And yet you tell me that God loves me. And at that point, it startled me so much that I didn't really have an answer for him. I said, well, he does. I said, all I'm going to tell you is he does. He loves you. Because it really just throws you for a loop sometimes. But they need to see the love of Christ. The love of Christ never fails. And they need to see the love of Christ in your life unto them, ministering unto them, and just showing forth to them. You say, well, how do I do that? Just be being kind to them, friendly to them, helping them, doing whatever you can for them. Just let the love of Christ shine forth. Because look what it says. Go down to in chapter 9, if you're still there. And he fell to the earth. He fell to the earth. You know, right there, something happened in Paul's heart. Right there, he fell to the earth. Because look what it says. Go back, keep your finger there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, what's that it refer back to? It refers back to the heart. When their heart, look what it says. When it shall turn to the Lord. Here's the moment, folks. When their heart turns to the Lord, in that moment, that veil of blindness, that veil of not understanding, that veil is all of a sudden lifted. It's lifted. Look what happened in Paul's life. Go back to Acts chapter 9. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. But look what he said in verse 5. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And he, trembling and astonished, said, now he said this to Jesus. He knew it was Jesus. Jesus said, I am Jesus. And for any Jewish person to respond this way, is testimony that their heart has turned and the veil has been lifted. Because for any Jewish person to turn to Jesus and say what he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That doesn't happen unless God has changed their heart. That doesn't happen unless they believe. That doesn't happen to an unsaved Jewish person. An unsaved Jewish person would never, ever, ever say anything like that. I know, because I've seen it in the Jewish people's life. They will listen. They will sing the songs, but they will sing some of the songs. Some glad morning. They'll sing some glad morning. Day by day. They'll sing day by day. They'll sing songs that have the name the Lord in them. They'll sing songs. Rock of Ages. They'll sing songs that speak about God or the Lord. But if the name Jesus is in there, they're silent. They will not speak the name of Jesus. But when their heart turns, and I've seen it happen, it's the most wonderful thing one of the most wonderful things you could ever see in your life, is that when their heart turns, all of a sudden, the veil is lifted. All of a sudden, the blinds go up. And all of a sudden, they're understanding. And they realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And at that moment, you know, in Romans chapter 10, with the heart, man believes. And I believe in Romans chapter 10, when you go back there, Romans chapter 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul is primarily speaking about Jewish people. And really what he's saying there, I've seen the testimony of what happens. What he's really saying there, he's not talking about some prayer that they pray. But with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's when that Jewish people, because their heart has believed, that their mouth is now able and willing to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Savior. And when their heart turns to the Lord, that veil does lift. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget that elderly lady. She says, she right in the middle of praying with her, she wanted to be saved. She wanted to be saved as long as she didn't have to mention the name Jesus. That was it. As long as she didn't have to mention the name Jesus, she'd go for it. And we began to pray. And I mentioned the name Jesus in the prayer. And she grabbed my hand, she opened her eyes, and she said, "How could I ever say that name? I can't say it." So I stopped her and I said, "Well, stop for a minute." And we went back to Isaiah chapter 53, and I said, "Let's read it together. And then I'm going to ask you a question." So we started to read it, and I says, "Who's that talking about? After all you've heard, after all the Bible studies, after you've heard what John the Baptist said, John the Baptist said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.'" And all of a sudden, you could see the light go on. You could see the blinds go up. You could see the light go on. And I said, "John the Baptist was looking at Jesus Christ. And he said, 'Behold, the Lamb.'" And all of a sudden, she said, "I got it." And her next words were, "I can say his name." You know, right there, before she even prayed, I believe she got saved. We prayed. But you see, she believed in her heart. And with the mouth, confession was made unto salvation. The prayer afterwards that we prayed, that she prayed, I believe that when she believed and her mouth confessed the name of Jesus Christ, I believe that moment that she was born again. And so, as we pray for these folks, as we pray for others, understand this. As there's a battle for the mind that starts at the heart. And the mind is blinded. But through the love of Christ and the light of the glorious gospel, when that light shines and that heart turns, and all it has to do is turn to the Lord, the blinds go up. And that person believes. And they're willing to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge him, confess him, and they're saved. So Paul's got a burden. We all should have a burden. We should have a burden not only for Jewish people, but for all people. And Paul was burdened. He prayed. He says, "My heart's desire, my prayer is that they would get saved." And he says, as hard as it seems, as difficult as it might seem, he says, there's this hope. Because God is long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's pray.